When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jalen Brunson fights a foot injury, sparks the Knicks to a 2-0 series lead. Brunson missed a chunk of the first half with a right foot injury, but returned to score 24 of his 29 in the second, leading the Knicks to a 131-120 win over the Pacers. The Knicks did lose OG Anunoby, who had a big game, but left with a hamstring injury in the third quarter. Brunson has carried a huge load, getting the Knicks to this point. Jalen, how you feeling?
I'm just going out there to find a way to win, and whatever the game presents itself with, I'll just attack it that way. I don't have my mind set on, you know, getting to a certain number, but I know for a fact that, I mean, whenever there's a certain cover, certain defense, we're going to try and attack it the best way we can, then we're going to try to get the best shot. And so I have confidence in myself and my teammates. They have confidence in me. And it's been, obviously, it's been working, but we need to find ways to get better.
All right, Stephen A., do you feel like the Knicks are asking too much of Brunson?
Yes, but I understand why. How much choice do you have? Look at how they look when he's not on the court. And so, you know, with greatness comes great responsibility. And you have to understand that. You know, people are going to ask things of you that they don't ask from just anybody because they know that you can get it done. And the expectation is that you will. Now, let me say this. I can't say enough about the job OG Anunoby has been doing since he became a Knick up until he got hurt last night. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and the New York Knicks have won games because of it. Dante DiVincenzo has really elevated his level of play this series, and he's had some big moments throughout these playoffs. I was right there when he hit the big-time shot in Game 2 after the foul wasn't called against them. In favor of Tyrese Maxey when he got mugged in the corner right in front of me. But nevertheless, Dante DiVincenzo has been incredible as far as I'm concerned. I love what I'm seeing from this brother, and I'm very, very proud of him. Can't say enough about Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein as well. These things matter. But in the end, Jalen Brunson is the straw that stirs the cup. The New York Knicks have no chance. I repeat, no chance without him. He's been absolutely sensational since he's arrived in the New York Knicks uniform. He put us on notice about that last year in the closeout game loss, game six loss to the Miami Heat, when he had 41 in that game and no one else, including Julius Randle, showed up. Mm-hmm. And to do what he's been doing this year, without the services of Julius Randle, has not just solidified him as a star in this league, he is solidified as the face of the New York Knicks franchise, a face to such a degree, he is the face for the New York Knicks to the degree that Patrick Ewing was the face of the New York Knicks when he was a star. He is that dude. This is not Julius Randle's team. This is not shared anymore. We've never seen Julius Randle. I like Julius Randle a lot. Looking forward to him coming back. We have never seen Julius Randle perform under the bright lights to this level the way that Jalen Brunson has performed in his 2 years in a New York Knicks uniform. And this year, he did it without the services of Julius Randle. So, yeah, they're asking too much of him to answer the question, but it's not like they are committing a crime by doing so. Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks have no choice. The Knicks go as far as Jalen Brunson can take them.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And for me, one of the biggest things was in that game when he went out with his injury, at times I felt like, oh, his teammates are asking too much of him because he has to save the day no matter what. He's got to score 40. He's got to score 50. But to watch his team step up when he was off the floor and keep it close enough for him to come back in the game, do this, settle in. He kind of pushed his hands down like, okay, we're going to settle in. We're good. And then he was able to get them the win. So his teammates holding it down, his teammates playing well. If his teammates were just standing around watching Jalen Brunson operate all the time, I would say, okay, everybody's asking Jalen Brunson to do too much. But with the way this team is playing, this is what has to be asked of Jalen Brunson for them to win. But his team is playing well enough for him to be the closer, and that's what they need.
I don't know about y'all, but did you guys see late in the game, Jalen Brunson, who has been leading the postseason in fourth quarter scoring, in clutch time scoring, which is 5 minutes left, the game within five. Did y'all see the Brunson boogie? I'm calling it the Brunson boogie. Did y'all see that? Because the guy also leads in dribbles, but those dribbles set up his baskets that are just clutch, that are just iconic. He has been cooking against Nembhard. I believe 14 of 21 when he sees that matchup. And we saw that in the fourth quarter. He scored 33 points on that matchup alone. That's it right there. That's the boogie. When he hits you with those tempo dribbles, he's about to make it rain in the garden. And Stephen A., I love this because you're saying the face of the Knicks. We all know that this Knicks squad is running up against Goliath, potentially, if they were to advance versus the Boston Celtics. We all know that. But we also know that this team is not complete. They have pieces that are out that can really be important to them, from Randall to Bogdanovich to those guys. They also have the potential to bring in more talent, which is truly impressive. But even if they bring in a Giannis, a Devin Booker, a Paul George, what this has proved is that this will remain to be Jalen Brunson's squad. He is that good. He has helped set the tone. He has set the identity. He has taught people that, hey, we don't have to have 15 million star players. We just need to have perfect complements with a guy who has really just shown that he is capable of rising to every moment. Every time you look at Brunson in the playoffs, he shows you something new, something better, something that makes you believe. And it's something that is contagious on his teammates. The Nova Knicks scored 76 points. Josh Hart, who was shooting 31% in the regular season, is probably shooting around 40% at this point. Dante DiVincenzo is playing. Y'all, I watched a play in the fourth quarter where Dante DiVincenzo slapped the floor to play some Coach Thibodeau defense, goes and is active. I think it was around the five-minute mark of the game and gets a deflection. Like, he was hustling. That is Jalen Brunson's DNA that he brought, not just from now in the NBA when he got to this Knicks squad, but it was a part of who he was. This was by design. His dad is an assistant coach on the squad. He practiced for moments like this. So, yes, it's going to be difficult for him if he's not 100%, but how can you not believe when he has shown you time and time again who he is? Because that is exactly what has created this I don't want to call it like a Cinderella story, because you know what I mean? Like, people have lost a lot of faith on the Knicks. They've always believed in superhuman talents. He embodies New York basketball.
Hell, in this day and age, we've lost a lot of faith in Cinderella. But go ahead.
But yeah, that's my point, though. Like, he is showing you that you can win with chemistry and cohesion, and also by doing it at 6'2 versus length. It's truly been awesome.
Stephen A., I have a question. I know you were just throwing it out, obviously. Oh, Jay, go ahead.
No, go ahead with the question.
No, you go. I'll get into it after. You pick a fight. Go. I don't want to derail
the
debate.
Pick a fight, my big brother here.
Yeah, pick a fight.
I mean, I've been on the show so many times.
Yeah.
And it's about the question, right?
Okay.
What's the question?
Are you going to do a JJ Redick on me right now?
No. I'm just asking.
Okay.
Is he doing too much?
Yeah.
How could you sit up here on national TV, Stephen A., and say, is he being asked to do too much? And you agree with that. Isn't this what we expect from our superstars, to carry the load, even when other teammates maybe can't get them to where they go? Isn't this what we want from Jalen Brunson? Like, regardless of Julius Randle being there, isn't this what we expect? When things are down, jump on my back, I'm going to carry you guys there. Now, it may not be enough to win a world championship. Are they missing a piece? Yeah, but damn, Jalen Brunson has put this team on his back multiple 40-point-plus games to get them to where they're at. And now we're going to ask, is he doing too much? What are we doing?
Well, first of all, fix your face. Don't cringe.
No, I'm not going to fix my face for you.
You understand what I'm saying? I am the guy that constantly reminds the world of what a superstar you were when you were at Duke. And
what
put that damn Jay Williams up there, because I want
to
see him when
I'm getting
to. You know me, I tell stories. I'm a soap opera guy.
What?
Jay Williams.
I'm here for
Jay Williams.
Yes.
When you are a superstar and everybody knows it, what you said absolutely positively applies. When you've blossomed into a superstar before our very eyes, because no one saw that coming. Where you go four straight games dropping over 40, where you dropping, you averaging 36. We didn't see that coming. And because we didn't see that coming, and we look at what the New York Knicks are without him, I'm saying, yo, I appreciate the job Leon Rose, Worldwide West, and all of them have done. You got 11 first-round picks over the next 7 years. Utilize them in the future because what you don't – but what I'm saying is we never saw this. That's all I'm saying. Okay. It's a pleasant surprise. But let's not act like it's not a surprise, that it wasn't expected. Come on, y'all. Janae, don't fix your face. You can't – none. We didn't see this.
No.
Not this.
I agree with you, Stephen A. Jay Will, yes, it is a fair question to ask if Jalen Brunson is doing too much. Because the reason why we saw him exit is because of exactly that. They are playing to the max. Nowadays, you look at teams that are successful. Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves, they're playing without Rudy, but they have the bodies to sustain it. The New York Knicks, they're dropping a little bit like flies in the sense that in this game, not only did Brunson go out, but so did OG Anunoby. Is that too much for Brunson to handle? Also, knowing that he's undersized, he's someone that has to deal with. His game is largely predicated on pushing off, using the big body Brunson body to be able to be successful. It is fair to challenge the idea that does he need a little bit more help? And does this style truly suit? It suits him individually, but will it suit you long term in the playoffs when you're going to go in advance and you're having to unload the clip and then you get the Celtics who have been rested? Yeah, he might have to do too much. He might have to play on a bum ankle to advance. Like, to me, those are all fair things to question based off of the style of
the game. I feel like you're saying we know he can do this, but how do you know he's able to do this except for that he's just been showing us throughout the year? But he loses one guy, then he loses two, we still ask him to do more. Then he loses three, then he loses four.
He's trying to compete to win a game. We're not asking. He's doing what he does.
But with less and less pieces around him. That's what I'm saying. The
but what's the alternative?
Right.
Like,
what do you want
to do? Hey, to hang it up and be like, I got a bump.
And by the way, like, if everybody were healthy, expectations coming into the playoffs, if we didn't know seeding, did anybody have the Knicks in the conference finals if everybody was healthy coming into
it? I did.
Kendrick Perkins did.
People did.
Everybody
and
was
I
healthy.
Might have too.
I did.
Okay. I might have too, yeah.
Okay. So we're not asking him to do something. He's doing what he does.
No, he's doing exactly
what he does.
Required.
Wait, if expectations are that, if you guys are telling me, I'm going to use your own stuff against
Jay Williams,
you.
Jay Williams, did you expect him to do this? Did you expect to see this Jalen Brunson? Yes or no?
Can I just tell y'all something, honestly? I've known Jalen since Jalen's been 5 years old. His dad, Rick, was a teammate of mine with Chicago.
That's right.
I used to watch Jalen.
When
Jalen was playing with Dallas and he was carrying that one game against Utah, I think he had 45.
I remember.
I knew that he could be a star player in this league.
So did Luka. He said
I knew that he could be a star player in this league. So I've been seeing it for a while.
Now, I didn't say the brother can play. I said, you see a dude that's going
yes.
every 30
seconds? Yes, that's what he's saying. He's got a history on him.
Stephen A., if you're telling me they need more pieces around him, we all knew that. We all knew that to be the case. That's why they've been drafted. That's why they've been stocking up on draft picks. Because they've been patient to make the right moves. That's why they didn't pay Paul George and other players. Because they want to make the right move. And they had a star in Jalen Brunson. So we're not asking, is he asked to do too much? No. That's just what Jalen Brunson does, y'all.
But also, you have to see their opponent. They're playing against the second fastest team in basketball, a team that in game one had 46-3 bench points. And so is he going to have to do way too much? Yes, he is doing his job. But in doing his job, is he setting himself up for success? Because we are seeing mounting injuries that have hit this Knicks squad. To me, that is a fair question.
That's more the style in which they play,
and that's what
though,
I was
right?
trying
that's
to say,
the style
yeah.
in which they
and,
play.
Yeah. And can they sustain
defensively.
It? Yeah.
But that's also one of the reasons why they're
not
there.
Not just him doing his job.
Andrea.
Stephen A., can I throw you a curveball? This one wasn't planned, but if we were all sitting around, talking and you were talking about Jalen Brunson, this thought just came to my mind because, what was it, last week you were saying LeBron should consider going to the Knicks.
Yes.
If LeBron went to the Knicks, again, this is all hypothetical, would it still be Jalen Brunson's team?
That's a great question.
That's the one player.
That's the one player.
Would that be the one? Time out.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Because he's LeBron. See, this is where we got to stop this. Like, you know, LeBron James is a four-time champion. We're going to be thankful if Jalen Brunson gets to the conference finals. Jalen Brunson is phenomenal. So proud of him. If LeBron James said, I'm coming to the Garden, could you imagine what New York City would be like? You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm talking, you thought you saw something special last night. You thought yourself something special in the 90s. If LeBron James
in his 21st season at age 40, was coming to the Garden? Come on now. We know better. We love Jalen. We understand how great he is. But damn it, when you ask a question like that, Andrea, I know you know the answer, but you know some foes out there, some folks out there. I mean, it's a little bit different. Hey, listen, everybody try. There's a lot of debate shows. There's a whole lot. But there's certain things that's next level that would be this. You understand? You understand? It ain't just for everybody. How you got to look at it.
Who would be the one superstar you think that you would want on the Knicks that wouldn't deter Jalen Brunson from being the de facto leader of the team?
And also, who's realistic?
Kevin Durant. You're going to tie it all back? He should have gone there the first time instead of going to Brooklyn,
I'm answering your question basketball standpoint. From a basketball standpoint, in terms of his makeup, what he does. KD don't need to hold on the ball and wait and manipulate mismatches. He ain't going to take the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hand. Jalen Brunson could literally do what he does. And then you know what? Here you go. Yeah, that's KD.
Would KD want to come to New York?
Shoot, at this point, I don't know. Hey, Stephen, you heard what I said? The roof is on fire in OKC. Right. So I got goosebumps when I thought of that possibility in my head.
KD? With Jalen Brunson? This team? You don't even have to replace Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein. You put KD on this Knicks team, healthy, day in the finals.
Yeah.
Day in the finals.
We got to leave it there. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Here's the Week 7 UFL schedule. Saturday, the Renegades look for their first win against the Showboats at 1 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. And then the 6-0 Stallions host the 5-1 Battlehawks on Fox. Sunday on ESPN. Tell them, Janae. Doubleheaders, Panthers, DC Defenders at noon Eastern, followed by the Brahmas and the Roughnecks.
They don't have, like, the pythons, Drea, or the...
Stop.
Yeah, you don't. They don't have... For you.
I'm an honorary stallion. I'm working on...
Yes, you are, sis. Wear your heels.
Nuggets guard Jamal Murray avoided suspension as the NBA fined him $100,000 for tossing a towel and heat pack onto the court in the direction of a game official. This was during live play in the Nuggets Game 2 loss against the Timberwolves.
It is what it is, and I take everything full responsibility, so on to the next.
Was it just frustration boiled over? Is that what happened?
Yeah, on to the next. I mean, there's not much, 2 days ago, not much for me to say about it right now.
Were there any conversations that you had with people or anything just to kind of, like, apologize or whatever, maybe take this
question? You have any basketball questions? No.
All right, that was Murray speaking for the first time since the punishment was levied. Jay, I want to start with you. Do you have a problem with his comments?
Yeah, because I thought he was extremely, just he showed no contrition. And it was, look, there was a sense of entitlement there where you just wish that if Jamal Murray had just addressed the issue by saying, I'm wrong, this is what I learned from it, I'm ready to move on to the next, I think he would have did it the entire conversation. But I do want to I want to give onus to something else because I think the NBA missed the mark here. So I do have a problem with the way Jamal Murray answered the question, but I also have a bigger problem with the way the NBA addressed it. So he got a $100,000 fine. And almost I feel like that answer was a privileged answer to a degree because he knew, I'm playing regardless. I know what this fine is. I'm fine, right? So Rudy Gobert, a month ago, on March 11th, for doing the money sign to Scott Foster, he got a $100,000 fine and a tech. So automatically, we're saying those two things are the same because Jamal Murray did the money sign to the ref. Now add into the fact that he threw the towel on the floor and then add into the fact on top of that. Now the third strike, he throws the heat pack on the floor. So to me, I feel like the NBA really missed the mark. He should have been suspended. Mm-hmm. And I think those comments just showcase that he really wasn't reprimanded the way he should have been reprimanded. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really unfortunate thing for the league from a representation perspective.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I'm not going to lie, though. When I first thought about the situation and I heard, oh, well, the refs said they missed it. They said it would have been a technical foul. So he shouldn't be suspended because it just would have been a technical foul. But when you add up all the things that would have been technical fouls, Jay, you're right. Like, it should have led to a suspension. And when you say, I take full responsibility, on to the next, that is something that is said by someone that takes no responsibility for what happened. Yeah. When you're that dismissive.
It's like Bill Belichick at a press conference.
For him to gaslight the reporters that didn't get to ask him anything post-game because he didn't do media post-game. So, yes, it was 2 days ago, but this is your first opportunity to stand on it. For me, what stood out was he looked just as confused, disoriented, out of sorts in that sitting down with media as he did on the court. He's just lost all control of what he is trying to do. It would have been so much better had he just stood on it, acknowledged it, said what he's going to do better, and then it would have put him and his team in a better position because the Timberwolves are looking at him like, oh, he's still out of sorts.
Yeah.
Look what's going on.
Yeah, my first reaction when I saw the play is I was very mad because when you throw a heat pack on the floor during live action, someone could have gotten injured. And then I saw the number of other things that he did, throwing the towel, and then also the money sign. So clearly he was throwing tantrums. So I was not happy with that. But after, taking some time to listen to some of the dialogue behind the scenes, people were like, okay, have we seen this from Jamal Murray before? And people were like, no, we should not. Like, they're grouping this as one offense instead of it listing it as a list where it was three. So when the league came out, and I think they also understand the circumstances in which a Jamal Murray does not play, that could completely dictate and alter the series. And I don't know if that's the heat that you want. But the reality is, whether he's on the floor or not, the Timberwolves are doing their thing. You know, they had no Rudy Gobert, and they still found a way to win. So there's a circumstance in which they could have still, the Nuggets, done the same thing. Now, lastly, I'll say this, and Drea, you're absolutely correct. He was out of sorts on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
3-for-18, 17% from the field. Mm-hmm. So was Jokic. This is the first time they combined for 25% from the field, right? So this was their worst loss that we have seen. I mean, this was the worst shooting performance, I think, since Carmelo, since 2003 or so, right? So that was a bad outcome. Now, this is the first time that the Denver Nuggets are truly in the danger zone. They're down 0-2. The last 2 years, they've been front runners. They won a championship. They've been confident. But you've seen a little bit of deterioration in this postseason. Versus the Lakers, I mean, they were playing from behind, and they were so good to be able to outperform that because the Lakers, their offense was problematic. This is a Timberwolves team where their offense is peaking, where their defense is on point. And so they're going up against a team, and now we're starting to see their character be revealed. We'll see a lot in Game 3, but what we saw in this press conference was just another indication of, hey, you should have learned that you escaped with the ability to play in this game and change the course of the series. And instead, we're seeing a little bit more to Jamal Murray's character and saying, you know what? I'm good. Like, that's a little bit, and you said the word, before, Jay Will, a little bit privileged in this instance because you got away with being able to play.
I don't use this word often on television, but I'm pretty pissed off at Jamal Murray. All of y'all are absolutely right, but especially Jay using the word entitled, privileged. Let's call it what it is. That's not something black men get to have associated with quite often. So when you are in that position, how about being mindful and cognizant of it? How about recognizing the fact that we've lamented historically privileged and entitled position that others who don't look like us have had at their disposal? and to make sure that when we have it, Ella, we don't act like that. You're Jamal Murray. You are a champion. You are a great player. How many times have we lamented the fact that this man is not an all-star and he deserves to be? How many times have we pointed out his exploits in the bubble when him and Donovan Mitchell were going at it, when Denver was playing Utah and both of them were dropping 50 on each other and all of this other stuff? We saw Jamal Murray's coming out party. We remembered when he was at Kentucky and what a sniper he was when he was playing at the University of Kentucky. We've seen the great things that Jamal Murray has done in his career. He hasn't had a blemish at all. Nothing. And then you have one bad night. And why is this a subject years later? Because you weren't man enough to own it. Something that simple. Literally. I understood why he didn't talk to the media that night. Because why bring even more attention before a decision is made? Let me duck away from all of this, see what the league is going to do, and then after that, I'll speak. You come out, Jamal Murray. Man, I messed up. That's out of character. That's not who I am. That's not what I'm known to be. I want to apologize to everybody. That's not how I roll. It will never happen again. Very, very simple. But no, we can't do that. We got to sit up there and we got to act like that. Then you got the nerve to look at the report and say, is there a basketball question? It is basketball. It happened during the game, on the court, while Minnesota was kicking your ass. That's when all of this happened. It's about basketball. They didn't ask you about your relationship. They didn't ask you about your family. They didn't ask you about something that happened off the court. This was literally a basketball question. Because you literally did this with 19, 20,000 people in the arena and millions watching on television while you were getting your ass kicked. And you're going to come at somebody like they have the audacity to ask you that question? Now that's what Jamal Murray is known for because of how he chose to handle it. And on a bigger level, we see this with a lot of cats. Right, wrong, or otherwise. Hell, I could be wrong. I'm wrong a lot of times. I'm going to explain my position, explain myself. I'm going to own what I think I should own. I'm going to fight what I think I should fight. And I'm going to live with the consequences. What I'm not going to do is duck a question that's relevant to something that you actually did that could have endangered one of your contemporaries. That's what he did. And the last point is this. It ain't just him that's got the proverbial eyebrows raised. It is also a great commissioner in Adam Silver, because now we're looking at you and people are bringing up the predecessor, David Stern, because they know that Jamal Murray would not have even had to think about it. His ass would have been suspended. He'd have been gone. He'd have been up out of there. Okay? So now Adam, through the kindness of his heart, recognizing this is the postseason, you don't want them saying we didn't have a chance to come back from an 0-2 deficit.
Yep.
Because you suspended Jamal Murray. He does that, and all he needs Jamal Murray to do is come out, mea culpa, own it, move on. And instead, you are that flagrantly dismissive. We look now and say, Commissioner, maybe you need to be harder. Jamal Murray, all your greatness, you're a champion, big-time closer, all of this other stuff. And now you got this associated to your name because you couldn't come out for 3 damn minutes and say, my bad, I owned it. You couldn't even do that. It's just stupid.
And here's my thing, too, Stephen A. Let's just say Jamal Murray comes out, because I was thinking, oh, of course, he can redeem himself, right? Because what's going to happen in the next game? The Timberwolves are going to try and push every single button for Jamal Murray, and what's also going to happen from the referees. They're going to have a microscope on Jamal Murray. So he has an opportunity to redeem himself with his actions, but because he didn't answer the questions and acknowledge the behavior, there's a chance he could still get asked about it again moving forward. So that's the thing. The fact that he didn't answer the questions, he didn't want to acknowledge it with his words and acknowledge it by taking full accountability and standing on it and speaking on it, he could get asked about it again. So now it's become a longer drawn out problem.
Andre, actually, it's a worse scenario than that. he doesn't have to get asked a question. Mm-hmm. Because of the flippant answer he gave, you are talking, forget the commentator that's Stephen A. What about the columnist that was Stephen A?
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have to ask you a damn thing. Yep. I get to defer to what I saw to use that to characterize you any way I want, anytime I want, because you were flippant and dismissive with answering a simple damn question you knew you were culpable and guilty for. It's about ownership, as Jay was pointing out. 3 minutes. That's all he had to give. 3 minutes.
Yeah. You know what's crazy?
Yo, my bad. It won't happen again. Mm-hmm. That was very uncharacteristic of me. I gotta own that. Love Jamal Murray. How could you do this to your reputation and your character? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm pissed. Because I know he's better than that. Why would you do this to your name? Why?
Stephen A., you're exactly right. Self-inflicted wound here, more than anything. And here's why I will say, in the span of 48 hours, we've gone from talking about Jamal Murray being one of the best closers in basketball.
That's right.
To now talking about this. And also, as somebody that pays attention to the game, and I heard you lament about it the other day, now I have visions of like guys like Jaden McDaniels in slow-mo clapping.
Oh, yeah.
Saying, okay, come on, Jamal, you ain't, even with the injury, Anthony Edwards, do you look up to him? He's 27. I ain't looking up to that. Like, it's all these things now make me start to look at Jamal Murray very differently in a span of 2 days.
Don't sweat a swing and a miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sports. Books and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. or New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
What if they just had a clear-cut definition of what the GOAT is?
Yeah.
Whether it be stats, championship. Like, it's... Sometimes when I hear people talk, I don't understand the criteria. Is it championships? Is it points?
Right.
Is it, like, I always have arguments with people, like, I don't really care who's in it, but I think you should put the right people in.
Yeah.
Right? So right now it's just, for some reason, LeBron and Jordan.
Which is
fine, but you're not going to throw Kobe in there?
Ooh. Okay. This one's very interesting. So that was obviously the Hall of Fame. Shaq Diesel, friend of the show, on his podcast a couple days ago, advocating for a while his old running mate, the late, great Kobe Bryant, should be in the GOAT conversation. Stephen A.
I don't like your face on this one, Stephen A.
Do you agree with Shaq?
I don't like your face.
Of course not. I really do. I really agree with Shaq. You know, that's my brother, but I really agree with him. Just like I didn't agree when he was talking about how the only people who should vote for Hall of Famers or whatever the hell it was, whether it's Hall of Famers, also it should be former players who were Hall of Famers. I forgot the criteria. I'm not going to quote him verbatim, but I didn't agree with that assessment at all, and I don't agree with this one. Kobe Bryant obviously is one of the all-time greats. He was an assassin. He was a five-time champion. He was a league MVP. We all know what he brought to the table, and God rest his soul. But I'm not saying anything, Jay. I'm not being inconsistent. I'm not saying anything now that I didn't say to Kobe's face. when we used to debate. And let me tell you something. He was very confident. He'd give anything for him and MJ to be, in their primes at the same time, because his mentality is he could take MJ. And MJ would laugh about it, because MJ would be like, yeah, that's what he tells me all the time, because Kobe ain't back. Kobe wasn't backing up from anybody. And I get that. But here's where I look at a few things. First of all, again, he's one of the all-time greats. There's nothing to debate. But he's number two at the two guard. He's not number one. We all know he's not Jordan. He didn't have Jordan's resume. We know this. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, again, not only did he not measure up to Jordan, even though he came closest, okay, but when you're number two there, I have to take that into consideration. I have to take into consideration that you had Shaq for your first three rings. I got to take into consideration that you couldn't coexist. You and Shaq couldn't coexist with one another, because we certainly look at LeBron and we nitpick about certain things when it comes to him that lends itself towards GOAT status or lack thereof. We point out leadership questions in regards to that. Movement in terms of going from one team to another, even though that wasn't Kobe. We look at a lot of things for LeBron James in terms of what was lacking to facilitate more championships coming down the pike. Well, one could argue that with Kobe as well. How much would they have won if him and Shaq were able to stay together? That's a legitimate question. What about the fact that the last 5 years of your career or so, you missed the playoffs, last 4 or 5 years? We got to take that into consideration as well. All of those things come along with it. I think that Kobe, from a skill perspective, was absolutely elite. Greatness, nothing short of it. But when we think about what Michael Jordan brings to the equation, I have to say you're number two behind Michael Jordan at your own position. And then when you look at the impact that LeBron has had on winning in his prime years, no matter where he's went, and the kind of impact that he's had, that's why I have LeBron James number two on Mount Rushmore. I have MJ as number one. And then last but not least, definitively speaking, we can argue, even though I think it's Kobe, we could argue about whether or not Kobe Bryant was even the greatest Laker. Because last time I checked, Irvin Magic Johnson was a Laker and a five-time champion and a quintessential leader who galvanized the troops. And last time I checked, a person that retired as the all-time leading scorer was the one person in the history of the game with one patented move that was unstoppable, which was the skyhook, who was a 19-time All-Star, a 6-time champion, 6-time MVP. We're talking about the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All of those things are arguments that could be made against Kobe being the GOAT. But Shaq is right that he warrants being in the discussion, because he was that great where he warrants existence in the discussion.
Okay. All right, your last part is what hit home for me. That's all I wanted to hear. It's just that Kobe Bryant is in the conversation, because that's the topic here. Should Kobe be in the GOAT conversation, in the debate? Mm-hmm. And he should be. I think Kobe gets minimized a lot because people say that he was a carbon copy of Michael Jordan. Even though what I think he was the next iteration of Michael Jordan, even from a skills perspective, I think his skills are more refined than Michael Jordan. Now, you can say that happens as players get better and better over time. Yes, that is what happened. But you can't deny the accolades that put him in the conversation for the debate about being in the greatest of all time. Number one, 36 game winners. Most by any NBA player in NBA history. Clutch. 5-time NBA champion, 2-time finals MVP, 18-time All-Star, 15-time All-NBA, 12-time All-Defensive Team. By the way, the most rebounds at the two-guard spot, top three in assists at the two-guard spot. So what you're saying is, when it's all said and done, you can still sit up here just like you and me, Stephen A. I have Michael Jordan, LeBron James second. But man, Kobe Bryant's name deserves to be in that conversation more, because I think there's a sentiment out there when you look on social media and you hear people talk about it. It's like all of a sudden we just want to excuse Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We just want to excuse Kobe B. Bryant, because it turns into this LeBron MJ. And what I'm sitting up here on national TV saying with you is, no, we need to start having conversations around Kobe being Bryant being in that conversation, because just being in that conversation is an accolade within itself, and he deserves it. His game.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that. I guess because I talk to Shaq so much and I hear what he says, that I went beyond the question because I know how he feels. And so for me, it's like Shaq is the kind of person, because, you know, he's a master provocateur. He knows what the hell he's doing, and he'll create conversation about stuff he may not definitively believe. It's like, yeah, I believe. He'll bring up the question, right? But he know he don't agree with the answer he want people to grab. You know, it's like, is Kobe the GOAT? No, am I Riley MJ? But then he'll say, well, why? How can we not talk about Kobe? Because you said that it's MJ. You see what I'm saying? That's why. You know, man, he leaves that part out because Shaq is brilliant like that. We get all of that, and I understand it. Kobe definitely deserves to be in the conversation, the debate, because he was an assassin. He was an all-time great. But if we're going to nitpick, and this is where LeBron gets us. If we're going to nitpick about LeBron, I got peeps that get on my damn nerves because they want to hate on LeBron at every turn. But then you can bring up stuff about other players, including Kobe, and it gets ignored then because they like Kobe and they didn't necessarily like LeBron. That annoys me. I pride myself on being fair-minded at all times, no matter what I think, fair-minded. And if I'm going to sit up there and nitpick about LeBron, if we just finished talking about another coach being fired, you're about to play for your 10th coach in your 21st season when they brought that up the other day. Kobe had 10 coaches. We never brought that up. See what I'm saying? When you look at some of the changes that took place in the Kobe era, when you look at some of the things that were said about him, okay, well, I don't care about that because he was a winner. And sometimes you got to make those sacrifices. And like Michael Jordan said on The Last Dance, I understand how people feel that way, but you never won anything, so you wouldn't get it. He was breaking that down, and I get that. But if we're going to do that with LeBron James, do it with Kobe. And if we're not going to do it with Kobe, don't do it with LeBron James.
I just a follow-up question for anybody at home that tries to use all the coaches that LeBron James has had. What has been their success after LeBron James? Ask yourself that question.
That's true. That's true.
And just so you talk about the greatness of LeBron. Ask yourself that question.
Good homework assignment. Let's let it breathe.
Yeah, let that marinate.
Yeah, okay.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
The Knicks win. That'll be good.
You care who wins. Cut it out.
I don't care who wins, but I will tell you what. I would love to see them get their ass stomped by the Celtics. That'd be great.
Then you care who wins.
I mean, I'm just saying, whoever wins this series is going to get stomped by the Celtics.
Bro, you said you'd be happy to see it.
Yeah, because the New Yorkers, y'all deserve it. Because y'all think y'all the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Tell them, Chuck.
Come on, y'all ain't that good in New York.
What else, Chuck?
Come on, man. Y'all overrated.
Chuck.
There was more to that. That was absolutely hilarious, where he just clowns the city. Stephen A., your thoughts on what Chuck had to say?
Chuck needs to shut the hell up. The only time Chuck, and I say it affectionately because that's my big bro right there, but this man, only time his behind shows up in New York City is when he was doing the show with Gayle King for CNN or when he's doing the NCAA tournament. Other than that, he ain't interested in New York City. And by the way, if you paid attention, we're actually the opposite. We know we're not all that. That's part of our problem.
Tell him. What else?
That's part of our problem. We know we're not all that. We ain't delusional. We know how sickening the Knicks have been, which is why we're on this high right now, because we see them legitimately scratching and grinding and clawing their way to ascension.
Go ahead.
And we appreciate that.
Tell him.
Chuck should be nice to us.
What else?
Chuck should be nicer.
Tell him.
No, I'm gonna leave it at that. That's my listen.
What do you think,
Chuck? Chuck, no, that's my big bro. You know how much I love the Chuckster, but you damn it, he was out of pocket with that. Him and Shaq were out of pocket. They don't know what the hell wrong with
you
both.
You know, Uncle Chuck
Queens in the building, Kenny Smith. Queens in the building, baby.
Stephen A. I gotta defend them in something though. You sure don't spend too much time in New York either.
That's a damn lie.
I'm just saying. Why are you
that's
never in New York?
Lie. I ain't walking on a beach like some people I know.
Right. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Electric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. The riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, I'm a 46-year-old man and can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old. These e-bikes from Lectric are fast, up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight, foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Head over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's lectricebikes.com. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod.